Hello and welcome to pod 30 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the Palace app, eagles.cpfc.co.uk and all the social media channels. Right, it's a pretty simple podcast this week. We have got just two items on it. We've got Statman and Robin, actually, but Robin is Dan Blundell from the Crystal Palace box office with an epic 40-minute chat about the season stats as a whole. So every conceivable positive Crystal Palace stat will be in that a little bit later on. But before all that, we have got an interview with Julian Speroni that Ben Mountain, our club journalist who joined us this season, has done a fantastic job writing for the website and the programme. He interviewed Julian Speroni about his whole career for a recent programme feature. So we have got the audio for that. And here it is now.
I started playing football for my school when I was 8 years old. Then, when I was nine, a friend of my dad asked me if I wanted to go play for a football club. Right. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll go and try it. And in those days, the kids didn't play in small roles. They put me in that huge role, when I was only nine, and I thought, what is this? In school, yeah, we had a little five-a-side one, but I went to play for a proper football club, and so it was weird, and so I didn't like it actually.
Right.
I went back home and said to my dad, I don't want to go back there. I'd rather play for my school. And, but then the coach came. He came to my house actually, because he used to live close to where I used to live, and he spoke to my dad. He said, I wanted to bring him back, I saw something on him. And so my dad asked me again, do you want to go back? And I wasn't sure about it, but then I tried again, and then I started making friends with the other kids, and then I started enjoying it, and I went back, and that's when my career started.
So do you think if your coach hadn't come, and he hadn't persuaded you to go back, do you be here now?
Who knows?
It's crazy.
Who knows? It's crazy, because it's little moments in your life where things can go one way or the other, and that was an important moment for me. Yeah,
so what's life like growing up then? Very different, obviously.
I'm from Buenos Aires, the capital, so a big city, a bit like London. I had a lot of friends around, and I had a nice childhood really, working class parents. We were pretty happy.
Yeah. I take it you didn't know much about Crystal Palace.
No, not at all, really. No. I knew obviously about the games that they used to show. Not many games were shown at the time, but when we had a chance to watch a game, it was always Man U or Liverpool or those clubs. The league that I most watched growing up was the Italian league, Serie A, because that was the one that was more popular back home in Argentina. All the clubs in Italy mostly. But
and you have an Italian heritage.
I have Italian background as well, so yeah, there was a bit of a connection there. But not much about Crystal Palace.
Tell us about how you moved to Dundee came about. That's quite a strange of Argentina and Scotland. It's very different. Parts of the world.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I was working with some agents, and they contacted the manager at the time. It was Ivano Bonetti, was the manager at Dundee, and I remember they had one of, nowadays you go online and you can check every single play. In those days we didn't have that, so I sent them a VHS video, and they were looking for a young goalkeeper there, and there was a connection with these agents because they had seven Argentinian players at the time. Well, seven with me, so they had six at the time.
Okay.
And so they knew the place very well. And they were looking for a young goalkeeper, and they watched the video together with the goalie coach, and they liked it, and they decided to give me the chance.
Did you have to make that video? Did you have to pay a cameraman to come?
Funny enough, my dad used to record every single game
really?
When I was playing for the reserves. I played two games for the first team also in Argentina, so I put all those clips together. And it's funny because those videos make you look great. You know, don't put the goals you concede, the good stuff. So it's a bit weird, really, how you know how people can choose from there. But anyway, it worked for me. So I remember my dad always recording the games because I used to analyze. You know, I used to ask my dad to come and film it, so then I can watch it back and I'd see what I was doing, see what I could improve and work on my game. It was a great tool for me at the time, great tool. And I learned a lot from it. And also gave me the chance then to send him away and then for other people to see what I could do and gave me the chance to go and play there.
So would your dad stand by your goal, set up a camera?
Normally from a little stand or behind the goal or somewhere. You'll find a place. You always find
tracks like Argentina.
Some of them were so badly really quiet because obviously when I play, sometimes you play in a place where you have a very high enough place to where you can set your camera. Right. But some other times it was just next to the pitch.
Yeah.
And you had to do it. And, but it was great.
So when you came to South London, then what was that like? How did the move to Palace come about?
Well, I knew there was an interest when I was up in Dundee. Palace was playing in the Championship, the second half of the Championship campaign in 2004.
To get promoted?
The year that they got promoted when Ian Dowie was the manager. And I was then following, when they were closer to playoff, I was following the journey. And I remember I was away on holiday and I was following the playoff and I thought, how they make it? And they did make it in the end. And after that, they contacted or they arranged or they did the deal with Dundee and then I moved here.
Did you ever sort of expect to be with one club for so long? When you were growing up, did you think, I'm going to commit myself to one club, I'm that sort of person, I'm a one club man?
No, not really. It just, it happened for me. You know, I never planned this. I mean, never planned to be here that long. I mean, normally players tend to be in a club for 3-4 years and then move on. You know, normally that's what happens.
Yeah.
But things, I was happy. I was always happy here, and my family was happy here. And some things for me don't have a price, you know. And I never see a big enough reason to go. And my relationship with the fans, with the people in the club, it was brilliant. And I didn't want to change all that. I didn't see the reason to change all that. And year after year after year, and I kept renewing my contract, and then I find myself now 15 years later, you know, still here, still enjoying playing football. As I said before, some things don't have a price.
Do you feel like time's gone very quickly then?
So quick. 2004, and 15 years later, I mean, it just went in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Went through everything really. I would say it was a roller coaster, ups and downs, and but I enjoy every minute. Yeah, I went through tough times, of course, but that's part of the game. You know, that makes you develop, make you a better player, better person, hopefully. I mean, it's a journey that I guess you know footballers had to go through. You know, all these good times, bad times, challenges. And everything should make you better.
So you said you have been through the bad times, relegation, administration. How does that make the good times feel then? You've been through all the pits, the rubbish stuff, but all the highs as well. How is that?
Yeah, you know what, but those moments, relegation, I remember the first year.
As soon as you can.
As soon as I came here from the Premier League, and then almost disappeared really when we went into administration, almost went down to League One at the time, you know. But those moments made, in my personal case, I mean, my relationship with the people, the players, the fans, the people that work for the club, our relationship even closer. And it sounds silly, but I was probably, not enjoying the moment, but enjoy what happened after, because it made us all closer, better, you know. It was a good place to work, good place to be, really. Which maybe if we didn't go through all those things, maybe, who knows, maybe it wouldn't be that close.
Yeah.
So yeah, particular moments where things change. In the end, it worked well because we managed to stay up that year, 2010, and also eventually later 2013, I think, was the playoffs, and then we go back to the Premier League, and now we're enjoying a great time in the Premier League. So everything worked well.
One of those tough times was when you started. You had to compete for this spot quite a lot with Gabor.
Gabor, yeah.
He says it was you both felt that you were helping the other one because you had the team.
Yeah, yeah.
How does it feel then? You joined. It was 50-50, and then you were number one for so long. What was that like?
Well, no, I mean, at the time, Gabor was the number one, really. Yeah, I came. I thought I was going to be number one, but then Gabor came, and he had more experience than me. He played for his country, and to be honest, he's one of the best keepers I worked with. He's and a great person as well. We're still friends. We're still, you know, talking nowadays. And it was a great experience for me to learn from him as well. And of course, we were competing, but we were helping each other. We had a great relationship. And we used to be roomies, you know. We used to share a room, you know, in the hotel before the games. And we used to talk all the time and talk about different things, family things. And we had a great relationship. And we helped each other in training because when he was playing, I tried to help him as much as possible in training with everything I could do. And because I knew when I had a chance to play, he would help me as well. And that was the case when I played, you know, he helped me as well. And I think that's the way it should be.
Okay. But then how you held the spot for so long after, what was that like? It was such a long time.
Again, I knew, you know, I had a chance to play and I had a good run in the team with then a little bit more experience, having been at the club for a few years then. I settled in very well in those first years of my career here. And I felt a lot more confident. I think I understood the league a little bit better as well, for the English football a little bit better. And then from then on, I wanted to establish myself as a number one, and I didn't want to let it go. And I still worked as hard as I could to maintain that, because, you know, it's easy sometimes to get to a place and have a good spell, but then the difficult thing for me is just to maintain that through a period of time. And that was my target, that's what I wanted to do, and hopefully I managed to do that.
How did you do that?
How what?
How did you stay at that level for so long?
Training.
Just really hard?
Hard work. Yeah. There's no secrets. There's no secret. You need to work on your game. You never stop learning. I'm 39 now and I'm still learning things. Yeah. You never stop learning. You can always do something a little bit better. I think the day you stop thinking that way, the day you stop learning something, I think that's the day where you just, okay, that's it. You stand there anymore.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of your greatest moments with the club, then. There's been a lot. I won't ask you to pick your favourite.
No, it's
very difficult, yeah. Let's start with 2010, then when we survived Sunday, what was that like? You saw the club that you've been with for 6 years almost disappear.
Yeah, I remember the journalist asked me after the game, and it was a bit of mixed emotions, really, because before the 10-point deduction, we were actually close to the playoff. We were trying to get there. We were actually winning games, and we had a chance to be in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves in a relegation battle. And for the neutrals to have that final game of the season between the two clubs that could get relegated, I mean, it was like, you know, heaven for them. For us, it was stressful, but for them, it was brilliant. And it was tough, obviously, coming to that game. We had the chance to secure our championship status the game before that,
right. Where
we played, I think it was West Brom, and we needed to win that game. I think we drew 1-0 in the end, and I can't remember the score now. Anyway, maybe you can check that.
I can check, yeah.
And they have a ball cleared off the line in the last minute of the game, and we thought, that was a chance that we would have been safe going into the last game of the season, but then, well, that wasn't the case, and we had to go all the way there and get a result.
What was that feeling?
That place. Well, I mean,
before
the game, those games are not the ones that you enjoy coming into, you know, it's a lot of, I think it's different when you fighting for relegation is different than if you go for something big, like for a championship, for winning the championship, or even for promotion. Those games are tough, really, really tough. For everybody, not just for us as a player, because our careers are on the line as well. You know, you go down a division and then everything goes down, and your pedigree, you want to call it, or your status, or
that goes down.
Yeah, that goes down as well. And also for the people at the club, you know, they depend on us to get a result there, because they don't know if they will have a job later. So those games you don't enjoy coming into. Obviously after the game, yeah, those mixed emotions that I spoke about before, because you're happy because you got the result that you needed, but also you're sad to see all that season ruined and what could have happened. You know, the thought of what could have happened. So you enjoy the moment, but you more than enjoy, you think you relax, and then it's like a burden off your shoulder. Right? That was basically what happened in 2010.
Relief more than happiness.
Relief more than happiness. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
More positively, 2013, beat Brighton in the semi-final. Yeah. You made that unbelievable side, and then there's a video at the end of the final with the goal where you fall on the floor and do this, and then you got Brighton a month or two later. How brilliant was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, saves are saves. You know, you don't in the moment you don't think, you react to it. And when he was going through one-on-one, I thought, you know, it was 0-0 at the time. And if that goal goes in, that it would have been probably a change of events, really, for us. Because it would have been tough, because they were on top at the time. And that's people ask me about what was the best save you ever made and stuff like that. And it's hard to pick one save. But I always remember the important saves in important moments, where by making that save, you're helping the team to achieve something important. You know?
Yeah.
And that save was one of them. I remember making a 1-1 save in that 2010 game, last season. Something. I won one in the second half, the game was 1-0. And again, it wasn't a spectacular save. But you had to make it, because if you end up 2-1 down there, then everything changes.
Yeah.
And then obviously the final as well, making an important save there. That's that didn't look spectacular, but believe me, that was a tough save to make, because I was going the other way, completely the other way actually. I had to come back to my left.
It was really close.
It was close, yeah. I didn't want to touch him or anything, because it would have been a penalty, so I had to try to get my hand across him. I lifted the ball, and I was hoping for some of my teammates to clear it, because I wasn't sure who was in front of me. Luckily, we managed to clear that ball and win the game. Yeah.
Does that all go through your mind then?
No, at the time, no, it doesn't. I thought some things go through your mind, but yeah, the penalty thing, yes, because he's coming across, you know if you touch him, he's going to go down. So you need to be very, very careful, very clean with what you're doing. You don't want to give the referee the chance to make a decision. So yeah, those things go through your head. But again, yeah, you, in the moment, the one against Brighton is just it's a reaction. It's 1-1. Make myself big, and then that ball was going over my shoulder, and I just throw my hand at it. And luckily, quick enough to just touch it and deflect it into the crossbar.
Brilliant. How proud do you feel then, looking back over such an incredible
career? Oh, very, very, very proud. But not just of that, but also
of
the team. Yeah. The team, and then we came up with the goals, and we managed to get into the final. Those moments are things that they will always be in my memories. Very nice things. So, one day when I won't be here anymore, then hopefully you know, the fans will, when they think of me, if they think of me, they remember me, they will think, okay, you know, this guy perform as this club deserves, you know, the players to perform. He gave everything he could. That's something that'd be nice if they can remember that from me.
I think they will remember. How's the club changed then in your time?
A lot.
Apart from money and faces. And...
Yeah, a lot. I mean, obviously personnel, of course, changed a lot. But, you know, the fact, obviously, we were trying to get better every year, but especially after we got promoted, really. Before that, it was quite similar, really. There were not many changes. But then we got to the Premier League, and it's a totally different world. Obviously, the money is important because that was allow us to have a better training ground, better facilities. Who knows, maybe one day even better stadium. And so all that is important, and managed to attract great players as well, which we help the club to get better and better and better. So yeah, in terms of that, it has changed, of course, and it, I think in a good way.
Okay, last couple of things then. You mentioned your relationship with the fans. How early did that develop? How did it start to develop, and how special has it been since?
I think quite early in my career, really. No, obviously not from the very beginning, but it takes a little bit of time to chat. But then I remember even playing, when Gabor was playing, even playing in cup games, and I used to feel that appreciation from the fans, you know. And then as soon as I established myself as a number one, that first player of the year award, I think after that, I felt that the connection was growing and growing and growing, and it's hard to explain, really, but we've been on a long journey together, I feel. And they know that, so they always show me so much love and appreciation. They always come to me and thank me for what I've done. I say, well, you don't have to thank me, it's my job, you know, that's what I can pay for, you know, I come here and I need to do a job. And it's really nice, you know, it's really nice. So yeah, I can't really thank them enough for all these years. How they make me feel, how they welcomed me when I came firstly. It was brilliant, because it's not easy to, you know, come from abroad and settle yourself in a new place where you don't know anybody and you don't know the customs of the place and the traditions and a lot of different things. And all of that made our relationship, you know, grow and grow and grow until, well, till now, to the point where, you know, it's just, and it's both ways, you know, it's the way I feel about them and how my gratitude with them is huge.
You said that when you received your award that they were sort of helpful for your family as well, and they're just part of your life.
I mean, my family, my three kids were born here.
Yeah.
And I can see them, you know, coming to the games and cheering for the club. And also, as I mentioned, my son, he wants to be a goalkeeper, you know. And I actually got him a shirt the other day, and he said, oh, can I have a goalie shirt? I went, really, you want a goalie shirt? Yeah. Okay, so he got the goalie shirt. And that makes you feel really proud. Because they've seen something, you know, that their dad had done here, and they're following up, you know, hopefully in the future, who knows, maybe you have another Speroni goal one day.
Yeah, are they Palace fans?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but the little one, obviously, she doesn't know, she's one. But the other two, they're crazy about football, especially my son, you know, he's a football man. So
hopefully the little one comes.
I'm working on it.
Last thing then, any sort of message for the fans, the staff, and all the teammates in 15 years?
There's nothing I can say, really, more than thank you for everything. Again, we've been through so much. Faces have changed, and players have changed, owners have changed, but the important thing is what we've done together for the football club. You know, that's the main thing. No. We all disappear, we all go. You know, but the club will stay here for many, many, many years. So so hopefully we build some good memories together. And yeah, and just a big thank you to everyone for all this year.
Is there anything that you want to add?
No, really, I reserve that for my book when I get a book.
What a brilliant interview there, Ben Mountain with Julian Speroni. So from one club legend to another person who definitely, the way he walks around Selhurst these days, thinks of himself as a legend. Let's go over to the media centre to talk to Statman and his new assistant.
Statman and Robin.
Yeah, that's right. It's Statman and Robin. Because Statman's got his little assistant, Dan Blundell from the box office, is here. Although we're calling him Robin, which is ironic, but I can't tell you why.
You can't. I mean, then that ruins the joke if you can't. But still, yes, we are. I'm very much here with my own Statman, the man who provides the stats, ticket office's very own Dan Blundell.
Let's talk to Dan. Dan, do you love your job?
Yes. What? As I generally do. It's not a... It's something I've always loved. Started here when I left school. And still here 16 years later. It's a dream job for a Palace fan sometimes.
What do you do?
My role now is to deal with everything that goes on the website. So if you can't buy your ticket on time, that's my fault.
Yeah. That never happens, though, does it?
That's never happened once,
it's
has
a,
it?
It's a slick, oiled machine now, isn't it?
It's compared an incredible to operation. Yeah. Incredible operation, yeah. And you know what he hasn't mentioned as well? He sorts out Chris Grierson's tickets, doesn't he?
He does sometimes, yeah.
Every single week I see you sneak on in there.
All above board.
All above board, yeah, yeah.
I've got the points.
Yeah.
Ish. Right, what are we going to do? So right. This is the end of season.
It's the end of show
what
show.
What a season.
Yeah, well... This is for us to debate right here and now. Let's get the stats out and let's see if it was a successful season. In your opinion, I'll give my opinion, and we've got my own stat man, Robin, here to give his opinion, / Dan Blundell. This is all going to get very confusing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Get your stats out for the lads.
So I'm going to get my stats out for the lads right here and now. I think before we just go into that, though, lest we forget... That unbelievable climax to the season, Bournemouth.
What a game, eh?
What a game. What was amazing is actually, we were rightfully put, were we third on Match of the Day? Or, you know, after
we were,
the Man
yeah.
City, Liverpool, who wins the title, which was it's boring, wasn't it? How that was going to happen. I just thought for a dead rubber, for us to be up that high, just shows just how phenomenal that match was. So let's just dive into just a few of the stats off the back of that. First one being Roy. Dan, I don't know if you want to fill us in. You've dug these stats anyway, mate.
Shove that microphone right into his mouth.
So Sunday's win against Bournemouth was Roy's 100th in the Premier League, and he's accumulated 25% of them at Palace.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that include playing against Palace, as in at Palace, so at Selhurst Park?
As Palace manager.
Oh, okay.
25% as Palace manager.
As you'll find out, I'm a stickler for double-checking what these stats are.
Often question me on the spot and I don't have the answer. So if you could refrain, that'd be great. Second one being, this one I loved, actually. So we beat Bournemouth, obviously, in that thriller, 8-goal thriller, which means we're now unbeaten in our final home game of every season since we've been promoted 6 years ago. Which I think is phenomenal. And you look at the opposition, first one being that incredible Chris Dan Ball 3-3 Liverpool game. That was our final home one. Beaten Swansea, beaten Stoke, beaten Hull, beaten West Brom, and then beat Bournemouth. So the final home game in the season has been a pretty joyous one for us.
It has. Joyous for me as well, because I get to go down there on the pitch during the lap of appreciation.
Yeah.
Well, we called it lap of honour this year. When the team's, yeah. When the team's doing really badly, it's a lap of appreciation.
Yeah.
And when you get a record Premier League points, it's the lap of honour.
It's never a lap of abuse, is it?
No. We lap of appreciation is the diplomatic one.
I'm pleased you brought this up, mate. So it's very interesting. We see there's only a few staff members who get to do that. Chris Grierson being one. But
well, someone's got to ask the questions.
Someone's
or
got to
hand the mic over.
But then follow the whole way round.
Yeah, because all the way around. Then I don't know if you saw, I interviewed Luke Dreyer on the pitch and Max Meyer at different points around.
I did.
And I waved at my dad in the Arthur Waite.
I didn't see that, but well, one for a moment. And
didn't bring my kids, though. Haven't got any.
Your puppy. Puppy shaker.
I could have brought little.
Oh, not on the pitch.
No.
We've got to sell that now.
No, he's very good at doing things on grass.
Yeah. It's probably not do that. The Jules interview.
Yes.
Can we talk about that? How was that for you? I nearly brought me to tears.
Well, you say interview, I asked one question and then handed the mic over.
It was your best work, to be honest, Chris. It's your best interview.
Yeah, let me shut up and we get the best stuff. Yeah, it was good. It was. I didn't know when to take the mic back.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest,
it was emotional. What about the moment when his son hugs him? Oh, lordy.
That was it filmed, wasn't it? That's gone up, has it?
Yeah, it's on all the social media channels.
And the punch-in one, as well.
Yep.
I like that he was not at all forgotten. It was very much a celebration of both of them, as it should have been.
Yeah, punch-in, wearing sunglasses so you couldn't see him cry.
Yeah, that was a wise move.
Pretty cool, though, didn't he? He looked like he was going to a wedding.
I think that's the look you're often going for, isn't it?
I love Jason Punch-in.
Yeah.
He's great.
Well, he's a wonderful man. And Dan Blundell, particularly strong relationship with him, wasn't he? Often one calling up for tickets, you were saying earlier.
Yeah, Punch was always one for tickets and stuff. And I found it really hard on Sunday. Both of them, they've both been legends. Speroni was there most of my life. And Punch, just the amount that I saw with him, you know, he had his number at one point. He kept texting me going, oh, Dan, can you sort this out? It's like, I'm not going to get him anymore, but yeah.
Did you ever say no to him?
No. I was up in London with the missus on her birthday, and he phoned me up going, do you know where my season tickets are? And I was like, hold a minute, love, it's Jason. 2 seconds. It's middle of central London. Yeah, no worries, Jason, it's just here, just go here.
He used to message me asking for a login to watch Palace TV, but like, I had it on WhatsApp, like he asked me about 5 or 6 times, and I gave him a login that I'd just made up with a staff email account, but he could have just set it up himself.
Nah, when you get to that level, you don't do that. That's beneath you. Yeah. How did that feel, though, for you to be treated like that? That's not the way, is it? You're being asked that. You're 5 times
you
over.
You did call me mate.
Oh, okay, there we go. That's why I got it done.
Yeah.
But the star treatment, anyway. So Jace Jules, very happy with that. Shall we move on to season stats?
Season stats, yeah. How's this working out? Are you guys taking... I've noticed you've taken turns so far. Have you come in with a plan?
Not really.
Okay. Carry on. And by the way, for the listeners, they've both got wow, quite a lot of paper in front of them with Stat Dan's end of show stats written in big bold writing at the top.
We have. Now, let's just start with the tickets then, because we've got the man here. It's just one that Danny B dug out on tickets then. So can we have just how successful season it's been from your side?
This season... Obviously, the fans make games and Palace support is absolutely fantastic. So over this season, we've taken 40,409 tickets have been sold for away games, which has been our most amount that we've sold up and down the country this year since we've been in the Premier League in the 6-season spell since we've been promoted, which is absolutely fantastic.
Well done. Well done to the guys in the ticket office.
Well done.
And the marketing team as well, up in Soho, who send out the emails.
Lest we forget.
Shout out MF7 and the boys.
Yeah, we go. They'll love that. But I mean, let's just dive over to that. Reason being as well, I know the season's sport's always phenomenal, though, but how good was that away form?
The away form was very good. I mean, I've got a stat on the away form for later, but you might hit it first.
I'd like to think we do, mate. Before Grierson digs out his stats of his own. Phenomenal. Sixth best, wasn't it? Our sixth best, in the away table, we finished sixth, which I think... Club else was phenomenal. 29 points away from home as well. So what a return that is. Was that your stat? You're nodding. Is it? Have you got one more to add?
We're going to wait till the very end. Because I've got an email from Ian King, who's the official historian of the Palace. Because he'd sent through some stats on the season.
So damn, we've been found out, mate.
At the end of the pod, I'm going to go through those stats and we're going to find out whether you missed any of them.
Oh, mate, we're in big trouble here.
So what were you saying? Away form was good. Actually, sorry, can we go back to tickets just because I found something on my phone? I'm going to test you off the top of your head, Dan Blundell. What is now the official capacity of Selhurst Park? because I got sent this as a WhatsApp recently, and we've asked to update it everywhere.
26,243.
I've got 25,486. What do we think about that?
Oh, that's a lot off. Where have we lost all those seats somehow?
I don't know. This is what I've got as the official, the available official capacity.
Are we taking into account then that there's no sterile between away fans?
I don't know. I've been told that, because you know it's all where no one really knows, the new official capacity is 25,486.
I think, just to get my colleague out of trouble here, I think what Dan was meaning to say is there's that many seats in the stadium. Whether you can sell them is another thing.
That's a very good point.
There's about 600 underneath the net in between the home and the away.
Well, then that brings you nearly correct.
There we go. There we go. We'll take nearly correct, won't we? Yeah. Okay, off tickets then. Let's go straight into this, mate, before we'll be here all week. Right, let's go straight into that home form. Now, this is the big one. I know all Palace fans going out there like, oh, that's the big thing. Oh, it was dreadful, wasn't it? And look, we in the end, 18th we finished in the home table for form, so not phenomenal there, but this is the positive. What a lovely spin Dan's managed to put on this. We've had worse.
Yeah, I can see that in pink writing. Had worse.
We've had worse. So
story of my life.
Yeah. So this wasn't actually our worst record at home for goals. So in the 13-14 season, we scored just 18. I mean, loved it that we smacked in five on the last day of the season, which then meant that we equaled a goal a game at home. Just 19 goals in 19 games at home.
What about the points? How did that do at home compared to other seasons?
Compared to other seasons? Well, I'll tell you what, mate. I'll tell you what. He loves it, doesn't he? He gives a wry smile when he's asked a question. and he thinks he's caught us out. But let me further that question with another stat. So, yes, we were the second worst team scoring home, along with Brighton and Huddersfield. Do you know, I've not got a stat off the back of that, but what I will say is defensively. So it was our joint best home defensive record. So, yeah, goals weren't flying in, but we were short at the back.
Weren't flying in at either end, were they?
No.
Good to know.
You see what I'm saying? Have you got a stat coming our way?
No.
No?
No, I'm just asking questions. I'm interested to know.
Okay. Well, here's one to surprise you then that we dug out. Danny B, on the scoring form. I don't know if the last one.
Our home record with clean sheets, we had more clean sheets at home this season, 7, than we did away, 5.
Oh, okay.
That's just so random, like, considering how good the away form was, you'd have just naturally thought we'd have had more clean sheets away, but no.
A couple of 3-2s, weren't there, away from home in those victories, a 4-1,
a 3-1. Yep. And a couple of, like, just nil-nils drawn out at home, weren't they? Just head down. Yeah. What were they? Newcastle, Cardiff and Everton.
Yeah, I can't remember to be honest. Cardiff, loads of shots, wasn't there? Boxing Day.
Most shots that we've ever had in a Premier League game. Yeah, that was a big one there.
Look at that, stat.
There we go, stat not even written down. Away form then, let's
we
roll
on. Page
on.
Two?
Kind of, oh, mate. Okay.
We won't get rid of page one, yet.
Let's not do that yet, mate. Away form then, as we said, best away return we've ever got in the Premier League. Which we just did on the last game away from home, didn't we, Cardiff? Needed those 3 points to get that best away form we've ever had in the Premier League, 29 points. And just bang the goals in. So we finished fourth for the most goals away from home. And, I mean, as we all know, weren't we threat? Every single game you saw us play away from home always looked like hurting teams on the break.
Single game some people saw us play, not me.
Well, let's just throw this. So the games you missed this season...
Man City away.
Yeah.
Arsenal away.
Yeah.
Liverpool away.
Yeah.
Burnley away.
Yeah.
Leicester away.
Brilliant. So you saw the win. Huddersfield you caught though, didn't you?
Yep. Newcastle, nice away win there. Cardiff.
Fulham.
Wolves.
Yeah.
Fulham. Oh, I did all right.
Did all right, didn't
Seeing as I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, it's true.
And there was free food.
And you're getting your tickets from Dan anyway.
Yeah, and I got to get the train with Terry Byfield.
Yeah.
That's, perfect. Yeah. What more can you wish for?
What a time to be alive. So that was, in terms of waveform, let's just focus on the goals again then. And that we only drew a blank 3 times, didn't we, away from home. Everton, Man U and Tottenham. So, I mean, just...
But that Man U is a positive. 0-0 draw.
Decent 0-0.
Old Trafford.
Decent 0-0. And let's just go on, the Man City one that Danny B dug out. I mean, this was a Sky Sports News one, they said. The last team to beat Man City and Liverpool away from home. Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
Just
Does Danny B not get to say that one?
Sorry, mate. Danny B.
Come on, you're hogging the mic there.
Let's divulge on the general ones we got here. These are sort of a season roundup on them.
So this season, we took the most points from the teams that actually got relegated at the end of the season. We took 16 points, 5 wins, 1 draw, and it's the first time we've ever not lost to a team that's been relegated.
That is a stat. Yeah. I like that.
He likes that one. He likes that.
That's good.
Because we're always renowned for people think,
how did
we all struggle.
How did you find that out?
Bit of homework.
Really? What, you just thought, and then you went back to every season, looked at who got relegated, looked at our results?
Yeah.
But you actually looked, you didn't just get an Optipack forwarded onto you from by email?
No. Wow. All my own work that was, looked up, found out, I was pleasantly surprised and I thought I'd chuck that one in.
Look at that. Beautiful.
Sense a slight dig there.
No, just checking.
Okay, all right, okay. Danny B, I mean, that's impressed him so much. Let's crack on with your other ones, general roundup ones.
Right, so it's also the most amount of goals we've scored in a Premier League season of 51, eclipse our previous best of the 16-17 of just 50. So
just did it.
All this speak about we need a striker. No worries.
No worries.
Let's just further off the back of that as well. This was the first season in the Premier League we had two players score 10 goals or more.
So yeah, Luka and Wolf.
There you go. Yeah. So that was a big one for us, getting the goals in. Crack on, mate.
Wolf won 6 penalties, didn't he, this season?
Yeah. Well, that was one I saw Steve highlighted, I think it was saying, if you count penalty, which they should. We've had this
they
debate many times.
They do want fantasy Premier League,
they
don't.
They do want fantasy, they don't in Opta in the world of official stats. Yeah. Which is a disgrace.
Yeah.
I think. But if you did, and it was the penalties converted, double figures for assists as well. It was 10 goals, 10 assists for Wolf, which is phenomenal.
That's all I'll say to that. Wolf.
Yeah. Next one, mate. Let's crack on. Next one.
Which one are we going with out of this whole list?
You can pick whatever you want. Yeah. You're Robin. holy cow.
It's our second best discipline record in the Premier League. We had 58 yellows and 2 reds this season, which is one of our best since we've been promoted. And it's only second to the 92-93 season when we only received 23 yellows and 3 reds. So it's normally in the 60s.
What? A good season and we had 2 reds? Because we didn't have a red since
we had 2 seasons.
Pat Suarez in 2016.
Yeah, 2 seasons red free.
Yeah.
And then this year we got 2, but it's still a decent.
We had loads of yellows.
Everything else has been 60s and 70s of yellow cards.
Mm. Wow.
See, that's an interesting one because Roy, I'm annoyed about this because Fair Play League used to, do you remember that? Used to get into Europe off the back of having a good disciplinary record.
Yes, if England got picked out the hat as being the nation, then
that got it, absolutely. Is that still going then? Do we know if that's still going?
I don't know.
It's certainly England hasn't been picked out the hat for a while because it's just an interesting one because Roy did it with Fulham. He got them into the Europa League for the second time through the Fair Play League. God, what a way to qualify for Europe that would be, eh?
Well, how do you know that about Fulham?
I don't know. I think it was... I was hanging around in Richmond once, and most people that live in Richmond are Fulham fans.
Right.
So I think it was a chat there somewhere, yeah. That's all how I know that one. Anyway, let me go. For me, this next one then is one of the key stats for, personally, why I think we had a great season. Most tackles of any team. We finished top. With the most tackles in the Premier League, 730. Now, we always hear like Ole Solskjaer going on about, oh, I want Man U to be the hardest working team, want the most tackles, what most, you know, work rate. Bang, look at us, top of that table, 730.
Yeah.
You don't know what to make of that.
I'm a bit funny about tackle stats.
Yeah.
I know they're good for...
For this.
For a player, but, you know, Man City, they're not going to tackle much, are they? Because they've always got the ball.
Yeah.
So the less you have the ball, the more you're going to tackle. So you're actually saying that you've had the ball less.
Yeah, but how hard we've worked when we haven't had the ball.
Oh, yeah, gosh, yeah.
As you well know from playing football, how much harder is it working when off the ball than when you've got it?
Yeah, it's hard work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show.
Well done us.
Yeah, well done us, top of that table. Next one, how can it be, Danny? You dug this one out, and I'm letting you say this because I don't know the answer to this one.
It's a mystery on this one. So I was looking up how many goals we scored in the first half and the second half, and this season we scored more in the second half of games, and we've only scored 20 times before half-time compared to 31 goals in the second half of football. But despite the lack of goals in the first half, if the season finished at half-time in all the games, we would have finished sixth in the league and had 61 points. How can it be?
What, we always 1-0 up at half-time? Or?
Pretty much.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's a good start. How do you run out?
He's really putting you on the spot here, yeah.
Websites and mathematics and everything else.
Yeah, and no games being on sale at the moment, so you've got loads of time.
Oh. Working hard for the beer festival.
You can buy for Hertha Berlin, can't you? Pre-season friendly.
And tomorrow's beer festival.
And the beer festival.
When's this going out? Tonight?
Yeah.
Get your beer festival tickets.
Yeah, see you down the beer festival. Come watch the legends play. There's loads of good players involved. I will be there, pitch side, with the mic.
Good. Yeah, and we sold over 2,000, haven't we?
Nearly 2,500.
Biggest beer festival in South London.
It was in Londonist this week, wasn't it?
I saw that, yeah, online.
Yeah.
One of the top things to do this weekend, come to Palace.
Yeah. Exciting moment for MF7 and the boys.
There we go. Second shout out for you, MF7. We love you. On a date last night, by the way, he was.
Really?
Yeah. He'll hate this going on the pod, but yeah, in Brixton. So.
Oh, really? Where'd you take her?
Duke of Edinburgh, I think he did, in Brixton. Do you know it, or Ferndale?
No. I thought he might take her to Pop Brixton and say, Max Meyer came here in a video. Oh, did I tell you I did his photo shoot?
Yeah, he just liked that, doesn't he? No, I don't think he did. But anyway, off topic of MF7's dating history, let's dive back to... Let's just go, because we've got first half of the season, second half of the season, because as Dan dug this out, it was a tale of two halves, wasn't it? Again. And first half of the season, didn't get that many points, averaged a point a game. Liverpool had more points than us. After 19 games than we achieved in the whole season. But, I mean, that's fair play. They had a phenomenal season, so I guess that's one there. And second half of the season, Danny B, in comparison?
So much better. If we could convert our second half of the season to a whole season, we'd been challenging Wolves in seventh. We'd have had 60 points. We've got 30 points in the second half of the season.
If.
Yeah. What ifs? We just need to... do you know what? One of your famous interviews, Andros Townsend, at the end of Bournemouth game. I think it was one of yours. I hope it was. Did you interview Townsend?
You didn't, did you?
Sorry, that's why it was a phenomenal interview. No, anyway, I think it was Match of the Day, actually. Yeah. Sorry, he said, we just need to take this form into the start of the season, don't we? I thought at the end of last season, we finished unbelievably, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was great.
And I just thought, we're going to take it into the season. And again, it was a slow start. Can we get off the mark quickly this time?
Don't ask me.
No, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I think hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I guess it fixes out June 13th.
Fixes out. Oh, is it 13th June? Yeah, okay. Mid-June.
Danny B's nodding. Just hope we can really, because second half season has been phenomenal for us. Now, we need to just focus. A few players we're going to focus on now. Just the key ones we've dug out. And Danny B always throws these stats at me because we had a little chat, Hennessy Gaeta, before earlier pods. Danny B, a massive Gaeta fan. And why is that?
Because he's just a genius at times. He commands his box and I love him for it. When you look at the stats as a whole at the end of the season, Gaeta does finish quite down in ninth for the number of clean sheets. But if you take into account the clean sheets per game ratio, he's right up there. He's got 35%. Of his games have been clean sheets, and there's only a few in the league that actually eclipse that. And you're talking Alisson, Edison, and also he's finished 18th with 64 saves in his 20 games, and it works out an average of 3.2, which is actually the seventh best. 3.2 saves a game, seventh best in the league on that. So it may be low down overall in the season, but he's only played half a season.
I like what Danny B did there. He went per game, didn't he? Because Wayne played.
How did Wayne get on, wasn't he? Per game?
Great question. I mean, do you have to ask that?
Did you add it up?
No. Can you not ask that question?
This is an example of Twitter, right?
Yeah.
People pick for one goalkeeper and then not look at it for the other.
Yeah, well.
Because Wayne had an amazing start to the season. Everyone's forgotten it. I've been going through.
Wayne did have his five clean sheets.
Yeah, five clean sheets.
Five clean sheets, but he played the same amount of games. No, he didn't. He played 17.
He played when the team weren't playing as well. So I like Wayne.
Yeah, you've asked a question there. We've not had the stat.
Only because I was going through. I've written out every single game we played on the whiteboard in the office for a video we're doing, of the season. And I've also written out every single video we did in the week leading up to it and the post-match ones.
Nice.
And we interviewed Wayne after almost every game in the first 2 or 3 months of the season. He won Player of the Month in November, as voted for by the fans.
Yeah.
And came in the top three of all other votes before that.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he was quickly forgotten.
Yeah. So do you... I mean, that's an interesting one. I'm sure people like to know. At the end of each game, who do you dig out? Who decides who you get for your interviews?
Well,
or do you just go, listen, mate, I'm Chris Grierson and I want Townsend or I want Wayne?
No, we go down... It's different home or away. So we go down... Joanne is press officer, looks after Roy. Harriet's down there as well. Away games is Terry Byfield.
Yeah.
They tell me who Sky, BBC and Premier League have asked to speak to.
Yep.
And if I want to speak to them as well to get something different, then I'll say, oh yeah, oh, can he come to me after?
Yeah.
Or if there's someone else that I want to talk to based on the game, then I ask to speak to them.
Yeah. But generally, if Sky and BT have got someone...
We tend to like do someone different.
Yeah.
Because we do get some of the Premier League ones through.
Yeah.
Like away games, we take this recording device to the broadcast trucks.
Yeah.
And they plug it in and they record the whole game for us. And then they leave it running and it plays the interviews through afterwards. So we take some of those and
there
put them
out. Here's one for you. Your season just gone. Favourite interview you did? For me, it's the Jules one. One question. That's all you needed.
Favourite interview?
Although it's all those ones you fly off to Finland.
Favourite one was actually John Bostock last summer.
Yeah,
it was the favourite one of the last year.
In the fan zone.
Yeah, in the fan zone, yeah.
Yeah.
And back in his seat. That was good.
Yeah. No, I did enjoy that one. Danny B?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, that one.
Yeah.
Grip me online.
Good stuff.
Let's go players then. Luca, Danny B, you've dug these ones out.
Luca played every minute of every Premier League game for Palace this year. He was one of only three outfield players to do that this season. So massive round of applause to Luca. That's a fantastic achievement.
Yeah.
And his brief time at the club, 2.5 seasons, he's already our second highest Premier League goal scorer.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Behind Wilf. There 24. We go.
And if it's top flight?
Oh, here he goes. You always ask this because Mark Bright has a big
Mark Bright has a big go,
isn't it? Yeah. Football wasn't invented when the Premier League started.
Yeah, isn't Mark Bright on 38, something like that? Is it top flight goals?
Yeah. Obviously, he was claimed to that. Wilf will chase that down there.
Mm.
Will he? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he will. He will. That's a positive. Let's not talk about that. AWB. Let's move on to him. Most tackles in a season by any Palace player, of course. 129. It was the third most tackles in the league. And his success rate, which just under 70%, which was phenomenal, which he finished second with as well. So, I mean, what an unbelievable season. Player of the season, rightly so. Three awards he won, didn't he, in the end?
He did.
We could have a whole stat show just on AWB, but we've just dug those two out because I think everyone well knows how incredible he's been. So that was a big one. And I'll tell you what is one you've dug out. Sacco, Danny B. You've dug him out.
Indeed. He
Thackeray.
Finished... Mamadou.
Oh, okay.
No.
He's finished a season with the best pass accuracy of any player outside of top six teams with 88.64%.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
I love his passing. That pass that he does when he goes through the lines, you know, where every other centre-back pass will pass out wide, whereas he just kind of does a little switch one through and before you know it, we're on the attack.
He like feeds the striker loads, doesn't he? Mm. Just goes for it, straight for it. It'd be great six-a-side player.
Yes,
that really goes unnoticed. I nearly had a tail off because I scored the greatest goal you've ever seen on a six-a-side pitch last night.
Really?
Can I talk you through it?
Yeah, I really want to hear this.
Okay, it was Brixton Ferndale.
Oh, yes, street.
Brixton Gas, yeah. My street, my local one. So keepers rolled it out to me. I picked it up on the left, okay? Now, last minute of the game, strikers come to me, and I don't know why I've decided to do this. I've never done it before. I've knocked the ball round the left, and I've run round the right.
Oh.
AKA.
Gareth Bale.
I was going to say Dennis Bergkamp, but Gale, are you thinking Bale's one for Real Madrid?
Ran off the pitch.
Yeah, but I didn't run off the pitch. There's boards. You can't run off the pitch.
Of course, that'd be stupid.
That would be stupid to jump the fence. Anyway, I've knocked it round the left and I've run round the right. Never done that before in my life. What happens with that is it's immensely difficult to get round there and beat the player. Turns out he got back in time again. So we've had a shoulder barge. I've come out on top, I've got the ball, and I've feinted to go back to the keeper, and I've turned, I've 360'd it, okay? So I've now, at this point, he's done. He thought it's going back to the keeper, and he's preempted that. So he's done. Head down now, I'm coming up to the halfway line, I'm dribbling. Now, skipper comes in from their side, massive player, comes in, he's shoulder barging me to the right. I've gone, off you go, son, bounced him off. On the left then, a bloke really losing his hair, but a really strong bloke, comes in again on the left. I've gone, see you later, boy. Boom, another shoulder barge to the left. Now, at this point, they both pick themselves up and they're coming in two times now. They're coming in both together for a double shoulder barge. Before they can do that, outside of the boot, bottom corner, in off the post.
Wow. Now,
I did do the one thing you're not supposed to in six-a-side football.
Celebrate?
And celebrate, yeah. And it was the last kick of the game, and it was 8-2.
Double fist? One
it was the double fist, jump up in the air three times. It was not a pretty one. Not a pretty one. But it had to be done. It didn't have to be done, actually. That is the one key thing with six-a-side. Don't celebrate goals. It really rubbed it in. And the final score was 8-2, and there was no need for that. So
8-2 to you?
8-2 to us, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So God, did you celebrate?
Yeah, I know. No. But just to recap, it had a Bergkamp knock-around, Maradona turn, and a Drogba knock three players off.
Nice work.
With a finish.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pleased we've had a segment on my goal.
Yeah, did other people talk about it afterwards?
Yeah, I've got it written proof that it was one of the best goals anyone's ever seen live, but you know, I'll show that to you later.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry, let's move on to Jimmy Matt. Last
Rory's
player.
Just found our problem on goal scoring. Statman up front next season by the sound of things.
Statman up top.
Just checking the... Blimey, this is half an hour.
Bloody hell. Right, let's wrap this up, boys. Right, one more player and then one more roundup stat. Jimmy Mack, you dug him out. Unsung hero. Danny B, take it away.
Right, this season, we all talk about Zaha and everyone else. James McArthur's got some of the best stats from our team this season. He played a part in all 38 of our games this season. He covered the second most distance covered by any player on the pitch with 399 kilometres. Only Luca was better, but he played every minute of every game. He was 11th in the Premier League's overall successful tackles. He made 51, which was 60% of his tackles made. He made 6 assists for us, scored 3 goals, had 1,987 touches of the ball, and he completed 1,109 passes, which was 79% of all passes he made. When he played a full game of 90 minutes, he was always one of the top 3 Palace players to cover the most distance in the game.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Unsung hero award, Jimmy Mack.
100%.
Yeah.
What's in the budget, Chris? Can we get him a trophy for that?
Well, you've probably got a lot in the budget. You did quite well this season. I hear the box office. You sold 40,000 away tickets. So,
and successful on the season tickets as well for next season.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And the most ever beer festival tickets.
And one of the most ever beer festival tickets.
Take it out your bonus.
Yeah.
Pop down to the shop.
Speaking of which, sorry. You know, sorry. Darren Ambrose works for us on a match day as a host. You still haven't got his goal of the decade trophy.
No, he does mention that.
Yeah, funny that. I see him every single match day.
We should get it done, shouldn't we?
Can we get that done?
Yeah. Well, there wasn't a trophy. It was just
an accolade.
The prize was me rocking up at Colchester United's training ground, telling him he'd won. And then he said, where's my trophy?
Yeah. Give the man a trophy, I think. If there's one thing we'd like, give the man a trophy. Right, wrap up stats here of the Statman special. Danny B, you might as well take it away with this one.
So our turning point of the season, when you look at the stats, was when we lost to Brighton and West Ham away in that week, which was a dark, dark week. Mm. At that point, it was game week 15 and 16, and up to and including them games, we'd only scored 13 goals all season and only got 12 points. Since then, the remaining 22 games, we won 50% of them, so we won 11 games. We scored 38 goals, which was 74.5% of all goals in the season, and was the 5th best team in the Premier League form table from that point. Better than Arsenal in 6th, Tottenham in 7th, and Brighton down in 19th.
I mean, that is phenomenal. If you'd said after, as you just said, that was a dark week, losing to Brighton and West Ham. If you'd told Palace fans you win 50% of your remaining Premier League games, you'd never believed it, would you?
No, that's incredible.
And that just... I'm pleased you dug that one out, Danny B, because that just... That says it all, really.
Good Chris, digging.
Chris
it's my I think it's my favourite. My favourite from the season, just because of it eclipses how far ahead of Brighton we can be at times.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
They owe us a lot.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, if we'd done a double over them, we'd be 8th or 9th, wouldn't we?
We'd have been two points behind Wolves and they would have got relegated.
Yeah.
And if we couldn't have performed in Cardiff, they'd have got relegated as well.
Yeah. Poor
but we're professional.
Cardiff should have beat Fulham though, shouldn't they?
Yeah,
that's where their season That's where they tripped up. Cardiff should have beat Fulham.
Yeah, yeah. No, I should have done. No, I agree with that. And who would have known, especially if you'd told them they would have beaten Man U on the last day of the season. They just really, really missed the trick there. But hey-ho. For me then, I'm going to finish with my three, I reckon, just summary of the season. And for me, why it's been a positive one. Biggest one of all, which we haven't said yet, in the end, it was our most ever points in a Premier League season. 49. I mean, there you go. I mean, positions are, you know, they vary, don't they, on other teams' performances. We finished 11th, you know, last season with less points.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we've got more points this time, the most ever. There's a little asterisk here.
Yeah, Danny B. In a team, Premier League.
Thank you very much.
We finished with 49, and it was 22 teams and got relegated.
And we still got relegated that year.
It's like ingrained in you, the way you dug that one out.
Heard it a lot.
Yeah, so most ever points for me. The away form as well, as we touched on, unbelievable away record, sixth best in the league. And the one that I dug out and we chatted about, which I loved, was the most tackles. For me, those are the three key stats as to why it's been a successful season. Danny B, your thoughts on the ones we've had?
On this season?
Yeah.
The away form, being the only team to get anything from the Etihad this season, considering how good Man City are.
Yeah,
and Townsend's stunning goal there that everyone's comparing to Company. It's not even in the same league, but you know.
Yeah, can we just have a moment for that as well? Because I'm sure it's been on social media. How that did not win Match of the Day's goal of the season.
That's only a personal thing, though. That's only their personal opinion.
It went to a public vote. But what is the point in that public vote? Public vote, so just Shearer and Wright can pick
the panel is so that it takes away the emotion of a public vote. And it takes away, like, if Arsenal fans all vote for their person. It's supposed to take away that and safeguard and make sure that the best goal wins. That's why it's supposed to go to panel.
In the end, they whacked in their emotions.
The panel used their emotions.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly. So instead of choosing however many thousand people voted emotions, they've gone for just two.
Because was it 1% difference in it? I don't know. That 1%.
Yeah, 28 and 29%.
Well, therefore, if you think about how many more fans Man City must have and how many people would vote for that because it's recent, then it's only fair that it's Andros. Yeah. Because if you take away the more fans and the emotion, he still won.
Yeah. He's got... have we had the... So Match of the Day have picked theirs, but that's not the...
Yeah, no, the official Premier League one, we're waiting on the...
We're waiting on that. Can we vote at the moment? Because
I believe so, yeah.
We need to get voting, really. That's a travesty if that doesn't win. You've done it already.
I've done mine.
Anybody's got his voting. Good, good. Well, we need to follow.
And then there'll be, obviously, the Pushcast one later in the year.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing if we... Because we... Effectively, it was our one award we conceded, didn't we? Was it last season's Giroud Scorpion? Because that won it. Was that last season? Season four?
Season four.
So at least we were involved in the Pushcast to actually have it that we scored the goal. That's what we want.
That'd be pretty
That's what we really want. But that is it. We've gone on for far too long.
I'm going to get to my Ian Kings now.
God, this is where we sneak off, mate. We've got to go. thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so
he sent through his thing. Okay, let's see if you can guess what this is. Nine. What's the significance of nine?
Away wins.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Equals the best in the top flight.
Thank you.
Which was 1991, if you're just looking at top flight.
We've got this. It's like you a game show, isn't it? I've helped us out there. Right.
32.
Oh, I was going to go away points, but we've got 29.
Away.
32.
Away goals.
Away goals. Most in the Premier League and the top flight in
the
season.
Well done, Danny.
Minus two.
Goal difference. Best ever goal difference in the Premier League.
Did you have that?
For us. We had that, but we thought it was boring once we put it in.
Eight. This is game specific.
Eight games. What happened?
Just eight. Eight is a number. It's goals. Eight goals. How's that significant?
It's eight. To do with Bournemouth at the last game of the season. Was the only team to play at home and have eight goals.
Hold on. Most goals since Neil Shipley played in it.
Most goals
ever in the Premier League at Selhurst Park. Yeah.
If you're thinking of the Stoke City one, 6-3. That was not in the Premier League.
It was in Championship. Which Shipley scored in that one. A hat-trick for AJ.
Yeah, Michael Hughes had an amazing run, didn't he, in that one?
Yeah, I think he did.
And who was manager for Stoke?
Pulis.
Okay, here's one that you didn't have.
Right.
This one is our best since 2005-06, and it's the number three.
I
don't think you'll get it.
Okay, can you give us a clue? He's cuffing up goals. He never does this.
A type of goal that we scored.
A penalties?
No, we scored loads of them.
Three.
From outside the box.
No.
Corners.
No.
Free kicks.
No.
Oh, own goals.
Correct.
Oh, well done.
Three own goals were scored by the other team for us this season, which is our best since the 2005-06 season.
Nice.
It was a mod on Sunday for us then. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we had that one.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
No, go on. Go on. I was just going to say, Martin Kelly's own goal. I loved it.
Yeah, that was good.
He had the page that day. He was on the script.
The rest of these are boring. They're player milestones, but we've run so far over.
We have run far too over. Can we do some serious editing on this? Some serious editing.
No, because I want to go to the gym.
Yeah, I've got to drive to York.
Really? What are you doing up there?
Wedding.
Oh.
It's going to take me 6 hours.
Are you going to a wedding?
To a wedding. Thankfully, it's on Saturday. But
okay. Well, it's been a pleasure this season. You're getting married this summer, aren't you?
So are you, Chris Grierson. Yeah,
when's your wedding?
When or where?
When?
It is in August in Jersey for tax reasons.
It's a bit close to the season, isn't it?
I will be missing probably a match, yeah.
What date in August?
August 17th.
Oh, okay.
When's yours?
July the 6th.
Ah, that's very clever. So, yeah don't interfere with the fixtures. I like what you've done there. That's very
players
nice.
Players back a couple of days before that, so I'll miss the first few days.
And then an anniversary will never clash with a home match day for Palace or away.
Yeah.
I like what you've done there. yeah, very good. What else are you up to then?
Not much. Just planning that.
Oh, where's the honeymoon?
We're working, obviously.
Honeymoon?
Honeymoon, we're waiting until September. Because she's filming until the end of August.
Oh, I just throw that one in there. He loved that. He gave a right smile when he said that. Chris Grierson is marrying an actor, if you didn't know.
Yes, actress. Yeah. You're allowed to say actress.
Yeah.
She's currently filming Bulletproof, which is the Sky One series. Noel Clarke and Ashley Waters.
Oh, fantastic.
She's playing a new cop in that.
When will that
series
be out?
Too. On later in the year, I think.
There we
end
go.
Of the year.
There's a plug.
And then we're going to go to Japan and Bali in September.
Oh. When? What month?
September.
Ooh, you're going to clash with the Rugby World Cup. Tickets will be expensive.
Yeah, I might live in Richmond, but I'm not bothered.
He's not quite a full Richmond boy.
Where is the Rugby World Cup?
It's in Japan.
Oh, no.
And it's going to be September, October, and tickets flights are going to be so expensive.
I think someone said this. It's towards the end of September.
Oh, right. Okay,
I think I'm all right.
Getting there early September.
Oh, I thought you meant I'd be missing it.
You'd be missing? Oh, no. What? Oh, what, as in?
Like, I thought it was at home. I don't know where.
Oh, no.
Cricket,
though.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, are you going?
No.
No.
If anyone wants to give me a ticket to any of the World Cup games, I'll happily go.
Yeah. That should be a good one. I think we'll win it. It's coming home. And can I just finish as well? I'm off to the Nations League, and I think we're going to do it.
Yeah?
We are going to do it. We're going to get the trophy. About time to.
Fantastic. What do you think, Robin? Danny B?
Been a bit better if AWB was in the squad, but you know.
Yeah, but didn't they say that they're going to have the strongest under-21 team possible for the championship?
Indeed.
Tournament they're playing in.
Yeah. The double. It's on its way. And that's been it for the season, mate.
So that's
looking
the end.
To next season now.
Bring on next season.
Yeah,
more
we'll
stats.
Have a meeting over the summer, decide where we're going to carry on.
Oh, God, that sounds incredibly ominous. We'll hopefully see you next season.
No, we will. No, I meant you specifically.
Okay.
I'm joking. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, mate.
Goodbye.
Cheers. Good night.
So there you go, the final stat man of the season has been and gone. But I don't think this will be the last podcast of the season, though. I think we've got a few things in the can, a few little interviews here and there that we can probably put on over the summer for you to listen to on your sun lounges, wherever you are. But as is always the way, I'm sure the new season, the players back, will be on us really, really quickly. But thank you for everyone for listening to this season. And I hope that you enjoy listening more over the summer. Enjoy the sunshine.